book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 16. So we look again, as I mentioned earlier, a message simply entitled, A Place Called Hell. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our hearts, Lord, open our minds again to this reality, Father. This reality again that you tell us of in your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us, Lord, again a sense of what this place is like this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take again what we receive. Lord, again, that we might impart it to others. And Lord, that we might be again the believers that we ought to be. And Lord, only you know our hearts, and if there's one today that's not saved, that today, Lord, would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd bless this time, bless your word, and we thank you, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see again here very clearly as we look at this passage and as we look at the word of God this morning, we recognize again the one who is speaking is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so again, there are those that will try to refute, to dispute, and they'll use, again, various methods or various ways, again, to dispute the fact, again, that hell is a real place. That they've taken even again they want to use the words that were used in the Old Testament for hell, the words that were used in the Greek again for hell, whether it is Hades or Sheol or Gehenna. And they want to take them all and they want to, again, lessen the fact that there is a hell. But we're going to look at the English this morning. Okay, we speak English. We're looking at the English. And again, it is good for us to know the origin of the words and for us to recognize again and to look at the Greek and the Hebrew, but to avoid any confusion. Again, we learned this morning that God's not the author of confusion. And we have, again, very clearly, very plainly here, a teaching, a doctrine given to us from who? From the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a religious, again, teaching that a man came up with all of a sudden. This isn't a Baptist teaching that some Baptist came up with. This is a teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ taught. This is a doctrine, again, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And very clearly, again, very plainly signifies a place. And again, just simply the title of the message, Hell is a Real Place. Hell is a real place. Again, as we begin reading here again in verse 19, book of Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Bible says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The Bible, again, describes hell as a place of flame, a place, again, of intense heat. But we're going to focus this morning. We're going to focus specifically on this rich man, the rich man again that is that the Lord again speaks about. And by the way, this is not a parable. This is not a parable. The Lord is not speaking a parable. He's not giving him an illustration. This is, he's speaking specifically. He uses again the name specifically of who? Of Lazarus. He uses specifically the name of who? Of Abraham. Now, the rich man here is not identified. He's not identified as far as given a name, but he is identified as who? As being a rich man. Now, understand, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. And the poor man did not go to hell or to heaven because he was poor. That is not the reason. Again, there are those that want to preach social justice, and they say, "Well, all rich men are evil. All rich men are bad." And it's not true. It's not true. That would make all poor people what? Righteous, and we know that that's not true either, do we? Well, we know that everybody, again, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason why Lazarus, again, was in Abraham's bosom, and the reason why rich man was in hell, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom because he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The rich man was in hell because why? Because he rejected salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Just that simple. And so there's two different places, but hell is a real place. And we look again, we're going to look and focus again at this man. And I want, first of all, to recognize that hell is a real place of sensation. Okay? I didn't say it was sensational, but as a place of sensation, of feeling. A place, again, where individuals are conscious. Now, there are those, again, that teach, and specifically the Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They're a cult. First and foremost, they deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, okay? And the Bible tells us very specifically that if those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they're what? They're Antichrist. They're Antichrist. So it shouldn't surprise us again that they would since they attacked the deity of Christ, that they would also attack the teachings of Christ. And so here, one of the teachings of Christ is what? Is on a place called hell. And they teach again that those that go to hell go into a state of unconsciousness. There's no consciousness. There's no feeling. But the Bible is very specific, and the Lord Jesus Christ, again, teaches and tells, again, concerning this place, concerning this man, and the fact that what? He was conscious. He was buried, and the Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He was able to see. He was able to feel, and we see, again, as he finds himself in this place called hell, we see him. The Bible says that what? That he was being in torments. That word torments, again, is defined as being in acute pain. In an acute pain, or could be identified as torture. Torturous pain. And this is what he was what? He was feeling this. He says, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments of seeing Abraham afar, afar off. You see, the senses are what? They're awake. They're alive in this place called hell. He's able to see. He's able to feel. And the Bible says again, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place." It's not a state of mind. It's not a state of mind that he was in. He was in a real physical place. He was in a real place, and he was able to feel. He had sensation, and his senses again were alive, and he could feel again the intense heat. He could see again Lazarus, and yet he was afar off. He was far off. But he cried again. He cried again, and all he desired again was what? For Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. Just simply to dip the tip of his finger in water. He says, "And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's a place of fire. It's a place of intense heat. It's a place of thirst. He was conscious. It's not annihilation. They don't just burn up. No. The people, again, that, and it's specifically this man whom the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. This man, again, who is identified, we are told, was a man, again, whose senses were awake, whose senses were alive, and he could see, and he could feel, and he recognized, again, and he desired the mercy. Again, he says, have mercy on me. When someone, again, is in torment, when somebody is in agony, when somebody is in pain, what is it that they desire? They desire, again, mercy. Have mercy. Oh, he knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he didn't deserve the water. He knew he didn't deserve, again, for Lazarus to come and cool his tongue. But he says, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus again that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know that there be any worse way to die than to burn up. I don't believe that there'd be any worse feeling than to die in an inferno, other than living in an inferno. Other than living in an inferno. Being conscious again of the heat, being conscious again of the thirst, and being conscious again. All the senses that he had while he was alive. All the senses that he had while he was living are still with him in hell. And he can see. And he can feel. And he recognizes again that if he will receive anything, it'll be because of mercy. Just a simple drop of water. A simple drop of water. You ever been thirsty? You ever been really, really, really thirsty? It's not a good feeling, is it? It's not a good feeling. It doesn't take long again. It doesn't take long again when you begin to dehydrate. Your body just reacts again, and it doesn't just affect your tongue. We were in Arizona in June, and it was hot already. Not as hot as it gets again in August, July and August. But it was already hot. It was in the low hundreds. But the heat in Arizona is a dry heat. It's so hot, okay? When you get into 100, whether it's humid or dry, it's so hot. But one of the things about the dry heat is that it causes you to dehydrate quicker. It causes you to dehydrate quicker without you even knowing it. You're just going about your day. My wife experienced this. Just going about her day. Doing the things that you usually do. Drink same way and everything else. Before she knew it, the dehydration had set in. And it went from being thirsty to having a headache, to just affecting her body altogether. Causing her not to, just lethargic. But the headache, the thirst. Could you imagine again? I don't get headaches very often. I don't, and I'm grateful for that. Imagine continual headaches, continual pain, your body again beginning to do what? To shut down. And yet, what? Being conscious of it. He says, what? I'm tormented again and in this place. I'm tormented again. He says, in this flame. He could feel it. He could feel the heat. He could feel it again. And it was a tormenting. It was acute pain again that he was feeling. There's nothing he could do about it. It was a place again of sensation where he lifted up his eyes and in torment, and he sees again Abraham afar off, just simply crying. And it's not just a cry of one individual, but the cries again of others that are in the same state, in the same place. When I was growing up, I remember going to church, and there was a movie back then in the 70s, early 80s. I'm sure it's still around today. You could probably look it up. But it was called The Burning Hell. It was called The Burning Hell. And this burning hell was about an individual, again, who ended up in hell. And I recall, again, as a young boy watching this film, it was scary. The depiction, again, was, to me, it was real. These two men, again, were motorcyclists. They'd come into a church service, and they heard the preaching, and they got mad because the preacher was preaching on hell. And they go off, and one of them gets in an accident, and he dies. The other one saw, again, the accident, and he ended up going back to church, and he got saved. But this one that died, again, it shows him again. Again, it's a depiction. It's a picture. But it shows him being escorted down to hell. And as he gets down there again, he begins to feel the intense heat and begins to cry out. And again, in one scene of that depiction, you hear the cries, the people again just crying. And here comes an individual dressed in purple with a crown, crying for water. Water. Do you realize that 2,000 years from when the Lord told of this story, that man is still today saying, water, water. He longs again for that finger to be dipped in water, to touch his tongue, to cool him. Why? Because he was tormented in that place. You see, hell is a place of sensation. It's not a place of unconsciousness. It's a real place. A real place of feeling. And the individuals, again, that end up in hell, they're not going to be in a state of unconsciousness. No, they're going to be in a state of consciousness. And they'll feel, again, the torment. They'll feel the pain. And if you recognize, again, understand that that this man again says what? Abraham sent Lazarus. He remembers. There's a consciousness. There's a memory there that still lingers. And I believe, and I often think about this again when we go out on visitation and we knock on a door and we attempt again to talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead them again to Christ. And we knock on the door and we introduce ourselves and we say we're here from Gaywood Baptist Church and we're just down the community talking to people about Christ, and they said, oh, I'm not interested. And I wonder again, since there is a memory, I wonder that if throughout all of eternity there's going to be individuals in hell that are going to keep hearing, oh, we're here from Gaywood Baptist Church and we're here to tell you about Jesus Christ, and they're going to say, oh, I'm not interested. Could you imagine? Could you imagine again that memory just coming back, and I had a chance. I had an opportunity again not to be here, but now I'm here. It's a place of sensation. Not only do we see here in the Bible and the Word of God this morning that hell is a place of sensation. Verse 25, what the Bible says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. You know, hell is a place, a real place of sensation. But secondly, hell is a real place of separation. It is a place of separation. Abraham says to him, again here, he says, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We can't go to you, and you can't come to us. There's a gulf fixed. There's a gulf fixed. It's a place, again, of separation. He's separated again, and here he's not only separated again from the comfort again that he once had, but he's separated again even from Lazarus. He's separated again from his kindred. I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25 again. You've heard, and I've heard, and I believe it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ taught more about hell than he did about heaven. And here another teaching, again, the words of Christ, and we're not going to read the whole passage, but we're going to look here in the book of Matthew. It begins in verse 31, but for the sake of, let's get a little bit of the context here in verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And we have here a picture, and this is the judgment, as it were, of the nations, and the separation of the righteous and of those that are wicked. And we see again how this is going to transpire. And But I want you to go to verse 41. And the Bible says this, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we then thee and hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of the least of these, ye did it unto me. Verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Hell is a real place of separation. I want you to take note again of verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared from the devil and his angels. It is a separation, first of all, from the Lord. A separation from the Lord. He says what? He says, depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. The presence of the Lord. To be cast away again. There could be no worse casting away from than from being cast out from the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Oh, the torment, the flame, the consciousness, again, will be unbearable. There's no question about it. But I believe the worst thing about hell is not the flame. The worst thing about hell is not the thirst. The worst thing about hell is not going to be the gnashing of teeth. The weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The worst thing about hell is that they realize that they've been cast away from the presence of God. I believe that'll be the worst part about hell. That they recognize that they've been cast away. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Being cast away from the presence of God. We can say whatever we want. We can say whatever we want. But people ought to be grateful that they haven't been cast away from the presence of God while they still live. They still have an opportunity to be saved. They still have an opportunity to call upon him. They still have an opportunity to cry out to him. But in that day, there'll be no more mercy. On that day, there'll be no more grace. In that day, there'll be no more love. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hell is a real place of separation. Separation from the Lord. But look at, again, verse 46, same chapter, chapter 25. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Not only will there be a separation from the Lord, but there'll be a separation from the righteous. There'll be a separation again from the righteous. I want you to look in your Bibles, the book of Revelation 21. Revelation 21. just two verses for the sake of time. Actually, three verses. Revelation 21 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There's a separation again from the righteous. Whether they be family, whether they be friends, whether they be co-workers, whether it's people in the marketplace, in the workplace. It's a separation. Never to be reunited again. Never to come together again. It is a place of separation. I can't imagine a separation. That's what the Bible says. It's separation forever and ever. For the believer, again, the tears will be wiped away. And there'll be no more sorrow. That'll be forgotten. But for those that are in the place called hell, there'll be a reminder. There'll be a reminder that, you know what, there was a time when I had everything. I had everything. But now I have nothing. Just a reminder. The reminder. No more family. No more friends. Oh, people say, oh, you know, party in hell. All my friends are going to be there. Your friends may be there, but it's going to be no party. It's going to be no party. I've never seen, again, an inferno. I've never seen again, and don't make light of the fires that they're having in Australia. Don't make light again of the fires that they have over in California. But I've yet to hear of people again running into those fires to have a party. I've yet to hear of it. And they don't do it there, and they won't do it in hell. It won't be a party. It won't be a party. Hell is a place of separation. I want you to go back to the book of Luke, and we're going to look one more time at this passage of hell is a real place. We've seen that hell is a real place of sensation. Hell is a real place of separation. But lastly, I want you to look here in verse 27. Bible says, then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them, from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Hell is a place of sensation. It's a place of separation. But thirdly, hell is a place of resignation. Of resignation. You see, this rich man was resigned to the fact that he was in hell forever. He was resigned. You see, he pled for mercy to have his tongue cooled. But you never see him, you never hear him ask to do what? To get out. He never asked. He was resigned. He recognized again that the place where he was at was forever. He was resigned to that fact. This is it. There is no hope. You see, if hell was just for 100 years, he'd have hope. If hell was even for 1,000 years, guess what? He would have hope. If hell was for 1,000,000 years, he would have hope. A very small hope, but still it would be hope, would it not? But he was resigned. He had no hope. He didn't say, Father Abraham, let me go back to my brothers. He said, let me go out. No, he says, what? Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. He knew that it was too late. Once an individual ends up in hell, it is too late. It's everlasting punishment. The only rescue from hell is to avoid it altogether. To avoid it. Once they're there, it's forever. And this rich man was what? He was resigned. He saw. He felt. He yelled out. He cried out. Send Lazarus. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. Why didn't he say, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Give me one more chance. Give me one more opportunity. He didn't say that. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a second chance once they're in hell. There is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell. He was resigned. Nothing he could do about it. The only rescue from hell is to avoid it all together. He recognized that. He recognized that. You know why? He said, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 4 brothers there, lest they come again to this place. He recognized that the only hope that his brothers had was for Lazarus to go and tell them. That's what he thought, by the way. What did the Lord say? No. They have Moses, or what did Moses or Abraham say? What did he say? They have Moses and the prophet. They have the word of God. Let them hear them. Sensationalism isn't going to. You can't, you're not going to scare somebody. If somebody comes back from the dead, people say, wow, they may get scared for a little bit, but you know what? That's not going to do it. It's simply through faith in Jesus Christ. It's accepting again what the Word of God says and coming to Christ, repentant, seeking again His forgiveness. That is the only way That is the only way. How can it be avoided? Accepting Jesus Christ before you die. Accepting Jesus Christ before you die. Just that simple. These things, again, John wrote, have I written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Yes, you can know that you have eternal life now. You can know today. The only way to escape hell is through faith in Jesus Christ, and that alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. I believe that the people that are in hell are resigned to the fact that they are there forever. 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 No hope. No hope. They're there forever. You see, hell is a real place of separation, of sensation, of resignation. And the only way to avoid it is through faith in Christ. It's not through reading your Bible. It's not through being religious. It's not through anything else. Not through no sacrament. It is simply through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's a real place. It's a real place where real people will dwell for all of eternity. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask this morning that you would, Lord, take your word. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize again the severity of this place called hell. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, again, just use your word to accomplish the work that you desire in our lives. We just thank you now. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you to stand with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The invitation is very simple. You're here this morning. You're not saved. I'd love to show you out of the Word of God how you can be saved. Secondly, you're here this morning and you realize that